Welcome to the deep dive. We sift through the sources so you don't have to, giving you that shortcut to, well, really understanding what's going on. Today, we're taking a deep look into something that's everywhere in the news, causing a lot of buzz, maybe some anxiety too, AI and jobs. We all see the headlines, right? Thousands of job cuts blamed on AI. It feels like the robots are just, you know, taking over. But as we'll explore, the picture is, well, a lot more complicated than just simple replacement.
That's exactly right. Displacement is definitely happening. It's real. But it's only one part of this much bigger fundamental economic shift. What we're really witnessing is this rapid reshuffling of labor, of skills, of where value comes from. It's happening across the whole economy. So our mission today is to get past those headlines. We want to quantify the impact, look at both sides, the automation and the augmentation, and really try to map out this new labor market that's taking shape.
And we've got some really interesting material to work with. We've dug into a big report, the AI Job Displacement Analysis from August 2025, and another piece called AI's Evolving Impact, Jobs, Interviews, and Innovation.
Yeah.
So yeah, should be a fascinating conversation. I think we'll uncover some surprising things. Okay, let's unpack this then, starting with the most tangible part.
Yeah.
Job losses, people losing their jobs right now. What are the numbers actually telling us? What's the direct impact we can see?
Well, the data gives us a clear starting point. Challenger, Gray & Christmas, the outplacement firm, they track this stuff closely. And just in July 2025, U.S. companies explicitly said generative AI was the reason for over 10,000 job cuts.
10,000 in 1 month.
In 1 month, yeah. And if you look back since 2023, it's over 27,000 job cuts directly tied to AI. It's, you know, significant enough that AI is now listed as one of the top five reasons for job losses overall in 2025.
Okay, but here's where it gets interesting, maybe a bit murky. Do those numbers actually tell the whole story? Is there this sense that maybe AI's role is being downplayed sometimes?
Underreported. There's definitely what you could call an underreporting hypothesis. And yeah, there's pretty good reason to think it's happening. A lot of companies might just lump AI-driven cuts under, you know, broader categories. Things like technological update or maybe just restructuring.
Okay, so it gets hidden a bit.
Exactly. Challenger's own data actually shows that. They reported about 20,219 cuts under technological updates through July 2025. And those explicit AI cuts, the 10,375, they're actually a subset of that larger number. So you see the potential gap.
Right.
Plus, think about how companies communicate this. You hear CEOs like at Workday, Autodesk, CrowdStrike, they talk about reductions, but frame it as a strategic AI pivot.
To accelerate investments and drive growth?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Precisely. And Wall Street often likes hearing that. So it makes the cuts seem like a necessary step for AI transformation, not necessarily a direct result of AI taking jobs. It makes the real link harder to nail down.
That framing is really key.
Yeah.
So, okay, if AI cuts might be underreported but are still significant, how do they stack up against other big economic forces right now? Is AI the main story, or is it part of a bigger, perhaps more turbulent picture?
It's definitely significant, but no, it's not the main driver of job loss right now. Not even close, actually. The biggest factor in 2025, by far, is something we're calling the DOGE impact. Basically, the ripple effects of major federal spending cuts. That's been cited in over 292,000 planned layoffs just through July. Affecting federal workers, contractors, nonprofits, even healthcare. Huge numbers.
Wow, nearly 300,000. That dwarfs the AI numbers.
Absolutely. And then you have the retail sector, over 80,000 cuts. That's up like 249% from last year, driven by tariffs, inflation, economic uncertainty. So if you look at the table from the analysis, DOG impact nearly 290,000. Market conditions, over 154,000. Closings, 120,000. Restructuring, almost 67,000. Then tech updates at 20,000 and explicit AI at just over 10,000.
Puts it in perspective.
It really does. And you see companies like Microsoft, right? They laid off around 9,000 in July, over 15,000 this year total. They mention AI efficiency, but at the same time, they're pledging $80 billion for AI infrastructure.
$80 billion, that's staggering.
It is. Their CEO, Satya Nadella, he even called the AI transition messy, which kind of sums it up, doesn't it? And look at Commonwealth Bank in Australia replacing hundreds of customer service staff with AI, caused a big union backlash.
Messy feels like the right word. So what does this messy situation mean for someone actually trying to find a job right now? It sounds like AI is hitting a job market that's already kind of fragile.
Exactly. The overall U.S. labor market is definitely showing signs of weakness, of fragility. That July jobs report, only 73,000 non-farm jobs added, way below forecasts. It continues this weak trend we've seen since April.
And didn't they revise earlier months down too?
They did. Big downward revisions for May and June. A combined 258,000 fewer jobs than they first reported. Unemployment stuck at 4.2% since May last year, which sounds okay, but might mean less dynamism, less movement. And the number of long-term unemployed people out of work 27 weeks or more that actually ticked up to 1.8 million in July.
So finding a new job is just harder overall.
Much harder. The friction in moving between jobs is way up. So any job loss, whether it's AI or something else, it just hurts more right now. It makes finding that next step much more challenging.
Okay, that's a clear, if sobering, look at the current state. But let's shift gears a bit, because it's not just jobs vanishing, right? It's jobs changing. This brings us to that core paradox. AI destroys, but it also creates, or maybe augments. So thinking about automation, what kinds of roles, or maybe what kinds of tasks, are really on the front lines, most at risk?
Right. This is the automation frontier. And the key idea is that AI often automates tasks within jobs, not necessarily the entire job overnight. The roles most vulnerable are those heavy on tasks that AI is getting good at. Language processing, content generation, communication, handling repetitive information. Microsoft's Copilot study looked at this AI applicability scores. High scores for interpreters, translators, writers, authors, customer service reps, sales reps, telemarketers, techno writers, PR specialists, data entry clerks.
Lots of communication and information roles there.
Exactly. The World Economic Forum points to similar areas, especially clerical roles like bank tellers, data entry. And you see tools emerging, like Perplexity AI's Comet browser, aiming squarely at automating things like recruiter tasks, admin work, more white-collar automation.
And on the flip side, what's safer?
Safer roles tend to rely heavily on things AI struggles with. Physical dexterity, needing to be physically present. Complex hands-on labor. Deep emotional intelligence. So think. Roofers, electricians, plumbers, massage therapists, phlebotomists, people drawing blood-heavy machinery operators. Tasks that require complex physical interaction with the world.
Makes sense. So that's the displacement risk. But you mentioned the other side, augmentation. How is AI actually making people more capable, creating value? This augmentation advantage sounds, well, potentially huge.
It is potentially huge, and the evidence is pretty compelling, actually, maybe more optimistic. Look at the PwC 2025 Global AI Jobs Barometer. They found industries most exposed to AI saw their productivity measured as revenue per employee almost quadruple since 2022.
Quadruple? Wow. From what to what?
From about 7% growth to 27% growth. Meanwhile, the less exposed sectors actually saw productivity decline slightly. So it's not just about cutting costs. It's about generating significantly more value when humans work with AI.
And what about pay? Are AI skills commanding a premium?
A massive premium. It's exploding. Jobs that require AI skills now pay, on average, 56% more than similar roles without those skills.
56%.
Huge, right. It's more than doubled from around 25% just a few years back. Lightcast, another firm, found about a 28% salary boost, an average of $18,000 extra per year, even for non-tech jobs that integrate AI skills.
The market is really valuing these skills.
Clearly. And here's the kicker. Even in those sectors heavily exposed to AI, job growth is still robust. Less exposed jobs grew 65% from 2019-2024, sure. But the more exposed jobs still grew by 38%. That tells you augmentation is creating new value, new roles, not just replacing old ones.
That really is a striking duality. It changes how you think about efficiency, about where human value lies. Can you give us some concrete examples, especially in tech, where it seems like they're laying people off with one hand and pouring billions into AI with the other? It feels paradoxical.
It absolutely is the automation paradox in practice. And tech is the perfect place to see it. You have these big layoffs, Microsoft, Tata Consultancy Services, often hitting traditional roles, software engineers doing certain kinds of coding, IT support, back office stuff, tasks that are becoming more automatable. I mean, Microsoft's CEO said 30% of their code is now AI written. Think about that.
30%? That's incredible.
Right. But at the same time, these companies are making these just mind-bending investments in AI infrastructure. Microsoft adding $10 million to hit $85 billion in capital expenditure for AI. So it's not just cost-cutting, it's a massive strategic reallocation. Shifting capital, shifting talent away from legacy functions towards this new AI-driven core.
And the result for workers?
The result is what the report calls a violent polarization of skills and wages. A real wage chasm. You have the AI-augmented workers getting that 56% pay premium. And then you have the AI-displaced workers facing tougher job markets needing major reskilling.
So AI is like a new assembly line, but for thinking work.
That's a great way to put it. It breaks down cognitive jobs into subtasks, drafting, summarizing, finding data that can be automated, which means the human value shifts. It's less about doing the task itself and more about strategic orchestration, creativity, applying ethical judgment to the AI's output.
Interesting. How does that play out in hiring?
We're seeing that shift too. Meta, for instance, is piloting AI-enabled interviews. Candidates can actually use AI assistance during coding tests.
Seriously, like in the real world.
Exactly. Reflecting how developers increasingly work, Zuckerberg apparently sees future engineers more as AI overseers than pure coders. But then, on the other hand, you have Anthropic. They make the Claude AI. They've actually banned AI use during their hiring process. So the norms are still very much in flux, even within the AI industry itself.
Fascinating. Okay, connecting this to the bigger picture. It sounds like AI isn't just tweaking jobs, it's fundamentally reshaping career paths, giving birth to new professions altogether. What about that idea we hear about the disappearing entry-level role? Is that a real concern for young people starting out?
It's a very real concern and potentially one of the most significant long-term shifts. It's like an erosion of the first rung on the career ladder, especially in white-collar fields. AI seems to be hitting those entry-level tasks hardest. We're seeing job listings for entry-level corporate roles down 15% over the past year.
15% fewer starting positions.
Yeah. And at the same time, applications for each remaining job have surged by 30%. It's becoming hyper-competitive. The CEO of Indeed, Chris Hyams, pointed out that for almost two-thirds of entry-level jobs, more than half the skills needed can now be done by generative AI.
Like what kind of skills?
Things like summarizing information, drafting basic emails, doing preliminary research, the stuff graduates used to cut their teeth on. This creates a real risk of an entry-level crisis, potentially leaving Gen Z with an experience gap. It makes things like paid apprenticeships, project-based learning, micro-credentials much more critical to get that practical experience.
So the traditional path is changing. And is the demand for AI skills still mainly a Silicon Valley thing, or is it spreading out?
It's definitely spreading out, a real diffusion of demand, which is actually quite exciting. Tech is still important, obviously, but the biggest growth in AI job postings is happening outside the traditional tech sector. Back in 2019, about 61% of AI job ads were in IT computer science. By 2024, that fell to 49%.
Still half, but a noticeable drop.
Right, but here's the amazing part. Job postings mentioning generative AI skills in non-tech roles. They jumped 800% since 2022.
800% in non-tech.
Astonishing, isn't it? It means AI fluency is fast becoming a baseline expectation across the board. Content, communications, HR, education, finance, research. They all want people who can blend domain knowledge with AI tools. The tech sector is becoming more of an enabler, providing the tools, while the real economic value gets unlocked across all these other industries.
Okay, this feels like the exciting part, the birth of totally new jobs.
Yeah.
What are some of these new AI-focused roles that are popping up?
Yeah, it's a whole new ecosystem of job titles emerging. You've got the technical side, of course, machine learning engineer, generative AI engineer, LLM architect, that's large language model architect, computer vision engineer, AI solutions architect. Then there's the crucial interface between humans and AI, roles like prompt engineer.
Ah, yes, the power skill of the 2020s, I've heard it called.
Exactly, learning how to talk to these models effectively. Also AI trainer, AI UX designer, designing the user experience for AI tools. And then you need strategy and governance. So AI product manager, AI ethics officer, responsible AI lead, AI policy analyst.
And at the top?
At the top, you're seeing chief AI officers, CIOs, and directors of AI becoming much more common. These roles are the flip side of the ones at risk, like customer service, data entry, maybe even some traditional coding jobs. And the tech itself keeps advancing, right? Google's Gemini 2.5 deep think mode, excelling at complex reasoning and math, science coding, plus Grok, Claude AI, Sora for video, DeepSeek. The pace is just relentless.
So with all this rapid change, this churn, it brings up a huge question. How do people, how do organizations actually get ready for this? What does the essential skill stack look like now?
It really requires thinking about skills in maybe three layers, a sort of tripartite framework. First, you still need foundational technical skills, things like data analysis, using spreadsheets, maybe Python, Tableau, basic coding, Python, JavaScript are good bets, cloud computing basics, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, and cybersecurity awareness. That's the infrastructure.
Okay. The baseline tech literacy.
Exactly. Second, you need AI adjacent and application skills. This is the human machine interface layer. Critically, that includes prompt engineering, really understanding how to craft inputs to get the best out of AI models, and broader AI literacy, knowing what AI can do, understanding large language model basics, and crucially, being able to critically evaluate AI outputs. Is it accurate? Is it biased? Is it secure?
So using the tool smartly, not just blindly.
Precisely. And the third layer, maybe the most important long term, is enduring human skills. These are the things AI, at least for now, can't easily replicate. Critical thinking to question the AI, creativity and complex problem solving for new challenges, high level communication, leadership, emotional intelligence, essential for working in these hybrid human AI teams. The real value add is orchestrating the AI, applying that uniquely human judgment.
That makes continuous learning sound less like a nice to have and more like, well, a survival skill. How fast are skills actually becoming outdated?
The shelf life of skills is shrinking dramatically. That old model of a 40-year career based on one degree, it's just gone. Obsolete. And this is causing real anxiety. Some call it FOBO, fear of becoming obsolete. Nearly half of U.S. workers worry their job could be replaced by AI, and 60% say they're actively trying to gain new skills.
Are employers getting the message?
They seem to be. 85% of learning and development leaders expect a huge jump in skill development needs because of AI. And 93% say it's their company's responsibility to provide the time and resources for that learning. Lifelong learning isn't just personal development anymore. It's an economic necessity. The skills gap isn't just about specific skills. It's becoming a skills adaptability gap. Honestly, the most valuable long-term skill might just be the ability to learn and adapt quickly.
This has been a really comprehensive look at a massive shift. So let's try to synthesize. What does this all mean for us listening right now? For businesses, for governments, what are the key takeaways, the strategic imperatives?
Okay, let's break it down. For business leaders, I think the big message is move beyond just thinking about AI for efficiency savings. Adopt a growth mindset. How can AI help create new value, new products, new services? That means investing heavily in your people, upskilling, reskilling. Don't just replace, reinvest. Redesign jobs for human AI collaboration. Think co-pilot, not just automation. And absolutely critical, prioritize governance, build trust, address the real concerns about data privacy, accuracy, bias, transparency.
Why, that trust piece is huge. What about for policymakers, governments?
Yeah. For policymakers, the challenge is really to modernize the social safety net and the education system for this new reality. Maybe update things like the WARN Act, the law about layoff notices, to explicitly consider AI displacement. Explore ideas like a dedicated AI worker training fund, maybe building on existing programs like WIOA. They need to drive education reform, get AI literacy into schools, universities, promote apprenticeships, micro-credentials that offer practical skills, and foster innovation, but responsibly. Things like a national AI strategy, looking at copyright law for AI training, data text, and data mining, or TDM, like Australia is doing. The White House's AI action plan touches on some of this, too.
And finally, for individuals, for all of us listening.
For individuals, the message is pretty clear. Embrace change. Assume skills will become obsolete and commit to lifelong learning. That's job security now. Get comfortable with AI tools. Develop real AI fluency. Learn prompt engineering. Practice critically evaluating AI output. Don't just be a passive user. And crucially, double down on those uniquely human skills. Creativity, strategic thinking, empathy, complex problem solving, leadership. That's where our durable advantage lies.
It really does feel like this isn't just humans versus machines, all. It's more like a fundamental redefinition of what work is. And yes, there's this violent polarization, this disruption, which is painful for many. But there are also these incredible opportunities for boosting productivity, for human ingenuity. The future here isn't set in stone, is it? It really comes down to the choices we make now as individuals, as companies, as societies, about how we steer this incredibly powerful technology, hopefully towards a future where progress is shared and truly human.